grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. The text is the second reading for today from Galatians chapter 5, and I remind you of these words. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. May God bless us as we reflect on this, his word to us again this morning. What is a Christian? I think people have got many different ideas about what makes someone a Christian. For some, a Christian's a museum piece, some sort of a relic from a superstitious past. Some see a Christian as somebody who would rather follow a blind faith than face up to scientific fact. For some, Christians are well-meaning but rather naive do-gooders. For others, a Christian's a person who's given up smoking and drinking and swearing and perhaps a few other bad habits. For some, a Christian's a person who tries to do the right thing by everybody. But all of these descriptions fall far, far short of what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who was dead in sin, totally cut off from God, but one who's been activated to new spiritual life by the energizing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified and rose again to new life. I wonder if you can remember seeing young lambs frisking around in the paddock. They seem to be so full of sheer exuberance of life, just at being alive. And they seem to have something that you very often fail to see in people who've been made spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. If you want to judge by outward appearances, many Christians, in my observation, appear to be living corpses. They seem to have little real joy and zip in their lives, in their faith. They seem to be more spiritually dead than alive. There's very little sparkle in their life. There's very little evidence of the Spirit of God who's guided them into this living faith in their Saviour Jesus Christ. And perhaps this is at least in part a reason why people sometimes talk about a lack of spirituality in the church today. So today's text from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians encourages you to keep in step with the Spirit. In a way, every Christian is a kind of schizophrenic with two completely opposing natures. Or, as Luther put it, a Christian is like a horse with two riders, each one wanting to go in a different direction. As a Christian, you have a renewed nature in Jesus Christ. You've been made a new person by the power of God's Spirit who comes to you through God's word and sacraments. And as St. Paul says, you are the temple of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives within you. He's the one who guides your life. But at the same time, there are still traces of that old sinful nature there at work in you, and they are aided by the devil and the sinful world around you in which you live. Of course, you have been baptized into Christ. You've received God's gift of full and free forgiveness, but your baptism doesn't wipe out all causes of sin within you. It's not some sort of a magic rite that automatically changes you into a person who's completely holy in yourself, somebody who never sins. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. But some of that old sinful nature that you were born with still clings to you, and it tries to pull you back again and again into the old sinful ways. And this means that your life as a child of God, your life as a Christian, will always be a continual struggle. You can never say, well, now I'm a Christian, nothing's going to go wrong. I won't do anything wrong. Living as a Christian will always be a struggle for you as long as God gives you life here in this world. At times, by the grace of God, your new spiritual nature gains the upper hand, and that's what controls your thoughts and your actions and your words. But at times you'll also find the truth of what St. Paul points out, that your old sinful self seems to somehow get up on top and lure you back into your old sinful ways and thoughts. People sometimes say that today's church isn't spiritual enough. And perhaps this suggests that maybe many Christians aren't prepared for the struggle that consistent Christian living always brings. And so St. Paul sounds a bit of a warning about this in our text. Don't gratify the desires of your old sinful nature, he says. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And then he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's quite a long catalogue of sins that he lists here. And these are the kinds of things that your own sinful nature will produce within you if you don't struggle to resist the temptations that you face. These are the kinds of things that will flourish in your heart if you don't fight to overcome them. And they can grow within you there to such an extent that they can oust the Spirit of God and can eventually take charge of your life. And there are many, many examples from both biblical and contemporary history that show how this has happened to people. And so the question you need to ask yourself as you think about this list of sins is, do you recognize any of these in your heart and in your life? To what extent have you been influenced by the growing immorality and impurity in our society? Are there any idols in your life? And of course, idols aren't only carved out of wood or stone. Primarily, they're carved out in people's minds. Anything you place above God in your life is an idol. It could be your home, it could be your family, your husband, your wife, it could be your farm, it could be your business, your study, your work, anything, anything at all. Witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, rage, drunkenness. This is all the stuff of our daily news in the paper and on the telly. It's around us all the time. And it can very easily seduce you if you're not on your guard. There's dissensions and factions, St. Paul says, and selfish ambition. And these sins can so easily enter not only into the hearts and minds of politicians, but also into the life of a congregation and of its members. You see, being a Christian is no guarantee that you're immune to any of these temptations. These are all the works of your old sinful nature. And if you find these sort of things starting to show up more and more in your life, then St. Paul says your old sinful nature is starting to take the place in your life that the Spirit of God really wants. And where this isn't checked, so that the Spirit of God can take charge again, then your faith and your spiritual life are at risk. If you want to be spiritually alive, St. Paul says, keep in touch, keep in step with the Spirit of God. Give the Spirit every opportunity to come to fill you with his faith and love so you can enjoy the zip and the joy that come with renewed spiritual life as one of God's people. Sometimes people, Christians, get the feeling that perhaps the Holy Spirit isn't as active in the church and in the world today as he was back there at the time of the apostles. But this really doesn't do justice to what the New Testament teaches us about the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Word of God and the precious sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are in use, there is the Spirit present with his almighty power. Whenever you read your Bible, that's the Spirit of God speaking to you, speaking into your heart. Every person, young or old, who's baptized in the font is baptized by the power of the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit who guides you to confess Jesus Christ as your risen, living Lord and Savior. He's the one, the Spirit is the one who inspires you each time you offer up a prayer to God, your Heavenly Father. He's the one who brings the love of God into your heart, who's the one who prompts you and empowers you to reflect this love in a life of loving service to God and to others. In fact, all the faith that you have, every Christian virtue that you possess, and every good work that you do in your life is prompted in you by the Holy Spirit of God. So if you find that God's Spirit isn't as active in you and in your life as he could be, then you need to look at yourself and to ask why. Are you using God's means of grace, his word and sacrament, as diligently as you could? After all, these are the means that the Spirit of God himself has chosen to use to come to you, to make you spiritually alive and to keep you spiritually alive. Then, in the world of nature, if an apple tree is alive and growing, you can expect that it's going to produce apples. That's why you'd plant it. If you're alive and growing as a Christian, then one might also expect to see some kind of spiritual fruit in your life. And in our text, St. Paul lists the kind of things you might expect to see in the heart and in the life of a person who's spiritually alive. The fruit of the Spirit is love, he says. It's also joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are the kind of fruits that grow naturally in the heart and in the life and showing up in their lives of the people who are spiritually alive and the ones who are guided in their daily living by the Spirit of God. But these aren't just passive qualities. They always show up in action. Let's just look at them for a minute. First of all, there's love. This is the greatest of fruits that show up in the life of God's people. And that's not just some sort of a sentimental feeling within you. It's not simply liking somebody. In fact, it's sometimes said that you don't have to like a person in order to love them. The love that's produced by the Spirit of God is a self-sacrificing love. It's a self-giving love that's constantly on the lookout to do good for others, even those who you may not particularly like. That's love. Then a second fruit of the Spirit is joy. And joy is a favourite word with St. Paul. And that grows out of your faith and your standing as a child of God, and it flows on into every aspect of your life. Your home, your family life, your work, your church, the well-being of your fellow human beings. And it can even show up and be there in your life in spite of suffering, in spite of setback, in spite of trouble that may come your way. We have peace in our heart and in our life because by faith we're living in a completely harmonious relationship with our Creator God. And this flows through into all of your other relationships then too, with your husband or wife, your children, your boss, your neighbours, your fellow church members even, everyone. Then there's patience. But how often don't we show impatience? We're impatient with the slowness of other people to understand us, to comprehend what we're trying to say. We're impatient with the weakness of other people. Goodness, we're even impatient waiting for the traffic lights to change when we're in the car. But true patience leads us to forgive others again and again and again. It endures all kinds of inconvenience for the sake of those who need our help, and it's prepared to make sacrifices to accommodate the weaknesses of others. That's patience. St. Paul lists kindness and goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness as further fruits of the Spirit. And this means a warm generosity, a willingness to go more than halfway to meet the needs of others. Faithfulness is trustworthiness in all things, in the word and the promises that we give, in the offices we hold, whether it's in the church or in the world somewhere, and a willingness to stand by those in need when a crisis comes. Gentleness. Gentle people aren't quick to take offence. They don't go around seeking revenge, and they don't insist on getting their own way all the time. They're prepared to give and take. Self-control means knowing and observing the limits of decency and moderation. It means stopping well short of gluttony and drunkenness and practicing chastity and temperance at all times. And these noble virtues are the product of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in you, and in your heart and in your life. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. And as Jesus once said, you can tell what kind of a tree it is by the fruit that it produces. This is the kind of fruit that God looks for in your life as one of his loved and accepted and forgiven children. And so to keep in step with the Spirit and to grow in these virtues, immerse yourself anew in his precious gospel word, draw richly on his sacrament, and then let the forgiveness, the joy of forgiveness, sparkle in you, and let the radiance of your faith in Jesus Christ shine through you, and let the power of God's Spirit radiate from you through those virtues that are the fruits of the Spirit's presence in your heart and in your life. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.